Psalm 25, 2 and 3, and verse 20. And then hold your finger there and turn to Psalm 119, verse 46. Psalm 119, verse 46. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 25 scripture verses, but you don't have but 10 fingers. So I'm just going to preach 7, okay? Amen, amen. Let's start with Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Now go back over to 25, verse 2, 3, and 20. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now verse 20. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Amen. Amen. The psalmist writes, Lord, I'll put it in South Carolina English, help me not to be ashamed of you. You'll never find in the Bible where they ever wrote, Lord, I'm not ashamed of me. But over and over you'll see where they said, let me not be ashamed of thee. Now there's going to be times in our lives where we're always ashamed of ourselves. There's going to be things that happen, things that, whether out of or in our control, we fail, we fall, we stumble. Of course, we get back up and we keep going. We confess our sins. We forsake our sins. We repent of our sins. But there's always another day and there's always another opportunity to fail. And there's always an opportunity to feel ashamed of yourself because you are a child of Adam. His blood flows through your veins. It's corrupt blood. You don't have the blood of Jesus Christ. His was the blood of God, pure, perfect, undefiled, without sin. There was no sin in him. If you read Romans chapter 7, you'll see there's still sin in you. The Apostle Paul says, that which I would, I do not. But that which I would not, that I do. And he says, oh, who will deliver me? And then he says in Romans chapter 8, I thank God, it's through Christ Jesus. If I walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, I have the victory. So there's no condemnation, but sometimes we're ashamed of ourselves. But we should never, never, never be ashamed of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No, never. Now the world tries to, it attempts to shame us into silence. The devil attempts to shame us into silence. And even our very flesh attempts to shame us into silence. But the psalmist said, let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed of you, Lord. Let me not be ashamed of you. And that's just, I looked it up today, there's about 25 passages that say, let me not be ashamed, and it's talking about the Lord. Now, listen to me. From the day you got born again, the day you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything in this world has worked against you, attempting to get you to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Popular music does it. You can't even watch that stuff anymore. Television, movies, whatever. The newspapers, the government sometimes itself. Everything in this world is working against us, attempting to make us ashamed of who we are and what God has done for us. Amen? If you don't believe that, you're living in a bubble. You never leave your house. You certainly don't work a public job. Amen? Nobody's ever worked a public job and didn't try. People didn't try to shame them because of their being a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And the more like Christ you are, the more that will happen. Now, the world doesn't bother a worldly Christian. They don't fear. They're not intimidated by or convicted by a worldly Christian. But you get sold out to God like people have been doing around here recently, and the world will jump on you with both feet. Can I say it that way? Do people from West Virginia understand what I just said? Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, we have nothing to be ashamed of. Of all people on planet Earth, we ought to be able to throw back our shoulders and hold our head high and say, I am not ashamed. Amen?
Amen.
So I found a few scriptures. I preached along these lines before. But number one, the Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first four verses tell you what that is. He said, I came unto you and I preached a gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what saved us. That's what keeps us. That's what will present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not your words. It's not your church membership. It's not your baptism. It's not your daily Bible study. It's not your walk. All of those things are good. But what you ought not be ashamed of is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's the power unto salvation to everyone that receiveth. Amen? Now, don't you be ashamed. That's the greatest story that was ever told. And of course, the new liberal church preachers and all this, they'll get hung up on that word as the gospel means the good news. It does. But it is specific. It's not just good news. It's specific. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of that. I will stake my life on that. I told a fellow recently, he said, well, I don't believe all that stuff. I said, well, listen, there's two things about that. Number one, if I'm wrong, all I did was get a blessed life, quit drinking, quit cussing, quit running around with that crowd, probably live longer and happier. And if you're wrong, you're going to die and go to hell forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's no end to what you're going to get. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Since March the 5th, 1978, when He saved me, I've not been ashamed of Him. Now, I've been ashamed of me. I have. On several occasions, I've been ashamed of me. But I've never been ashamed of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then I thought about this. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Most of y'all already know the verses I'm going to quote tonight. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and you already know it when I start reading it. You're going to say, well, preacher, we know that. Verse 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I'm not ashamed of the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it. Ever since I've been saved, I've carried a Bible. I have pocket Bibles. You ought to get you one. I have Bibles in my car. I'll tell you how to solve some of those work problems you have at your work. You take that old King James Bible and you open it up just like that and lay it there at the front of your desk where the first thing anybody sees is a big old Bible open, and it'll cut out those nasty jokes. It'll cut out a lot of that gossip and backbiting. It'll cut out a lot of them talking about what they did last night. They got drunk, they did this, and they did that. They'll start talking, they'll look down there and say, oh, I forgot, you're a Christian. Hey, we'll not be ashamed of this old book right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You'd have no faith if it wasn't for that book. You say, well, I failed it when I got saved. No, you didn't. You had feelings when you got saved because God gave you faith, and that excited your feelings, but your faith came through the Word of God. And listen, when I got saved in the Southern Baptist Church, and it was the Bible of today. You know, there's 114 English translations now. They can't all be right. Come on. I preached the other week, things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. And listen, you need to get settled on one. Now, I said it a long time ago, the old King James Bible, been around here for over 400 years. It's worked. It's always worked. More people have been saved through the preaching of this book. More people have been discipled through the teaching of this book. And you say, well, I can't understand those words. Let me tell you something. There's eight words in the King James Bible that are above eighth grade English. Get you a Bible dictionary. People used to get, and by the way, those other Bibles have them too. They changed them. I've read words that long in those new translations. I had to look them up, you know. So what I'm saying is this. People say, well, you're just one of those old Bible thumpers. Amen. Are you one of them old Bible believers? Amen. Are you one of those King James only people? Amen. Amen. Guilty as charged. I am not ashamed. Now, I used to get intimidated when I was younger. People would intimidate me because I didn't grow up in church and I didn't know a lot about the Bible, you know. But then after I begin to study the Bible, I come to find out the Bible will intimidate them a whole lot worse than they intimidate me. Amen? So I just learned some scriptures. They'd say something, I'd quote a scripture. You said, what if you quoted the wrong scripture? They wouldn't know. They're heathens, man. They don't know what the Bible says. Hell no, just quote some scripture. Just throw it at them when they ask you some stupid question. Well, who wrote the Bible? Well, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wrote the Bible. They'll say, well, man wrote that book. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a whole bunch of men in here that never met each other. They didn't know each other. They'd never read each other's writings. Some lived hundreds of years apart. And every one of them that wrote agrees with the other one.
Amen.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They wrote it down. Amen? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. That's how you got saved, was the Bible. Do you know there's people, and Becky and my wife talked to kids one night, about this guy that went to Korea, I think it was, and the natives didn't want him there, you know, and he paid his own way. He bought Bibles to give them away. He paid his own way. No mission board, nothing like that. And they were trying to kill him and everything. He was throwing Bibles down there to them while they was trying to get on the ship and kill everybody. And later on, he thought he had failed in his mission. He went back home. And then years later, these other people went there and they found this one building that was dedicated to that man. And the walls were just about plastered with pages of scripture, wouldn't they be? Yeah. Hey, the Word of God did the work as wallpaper. Amen? Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 6. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me. Look at verse 4. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says this. He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He said, come ye out, therefore out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Hey, now listen to me. We should not be ashamed of Christian living. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people that apologize for good old-fashioned, biblical, Christian living. They say, well, that's out of date. The Bible doesn't change. Jesus said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. God told Moses that. I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. I change not. Just because 100 years ago somebody did something right does not mean that we got to change it and do something wrong today just because it's a different day. Amen? Well, preacher, you're just too old-fashioned and ain't nobody going to come to your church. Well, I don't care if they don't come. I'm not going to be ashamed of old-fashioned Christian living. I mean that old-fashioned Christian living. I'm talking about one man for one woman, marriage, real marriage, man and woman. And by the way, the law can't write, the government can't rewrite marriage. They didn't write the first marriage. Amen? They don't have the authority to write another one. God wrote that. Amen? Amen. One man for one woman. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen? And God wrote the book, and it changes not. So it, when he tells me something's right 1,000 years ago, it's right right now. If he said it was right 400 years ago, it's right right now. God changes not. You think God just woke up one day and said, uh-oh, I was wrong on that. I need to change my mind. Now, we'll not be ashamed of Christian living. Somebody told me one day, said, preacher, you're too old-fashioned. I said, I'm not old-fashioned, I'm biblical. Amen. That word's not in the Bible, old-fashioned. You're either biblical or you're unbiblical. Amen? They said, well, you're trying to take the church back to the 19th century. I said, no, I'm trying to take it back to the first century. Amen. 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 Now, you go ahead and you pussyfoot around and you tiptoe around and you try to apologize for the people living wrong and for them living out of the will of God, and you try to tiptoe around them, and they're not going to respect you anyway. You know, people make, they will think more of you if you just tell them what's right and what's wrong standard. Amen. Yep. Amen. Right. You know, your children, after they're grown, the things that you fought and fussed over so much when they were younger, because when they turned 12, they lost their mind. And when they was 13, you should have locked them up somewhere until they turned 25. And those same children, if you'll stand on what the Bible tells you to and you'll live what the Bible tells you to, those same children at 35, 45 years old will come back and bless you. They will. Those same children will come back and they'll bless you and they'll thank you for standing and not moving and not changing and not backing up and not giving in. Suzanne sent my wife a message. She was shopping for Olivia, my oldest granddaughter. Well, Olivia's 16 now. And she's 16, I think. But she was trying to find her some, she texted my wife, she was trying to find her some modest clothing. Yeah. And she was all up in the air over fussing over teenager wearing modest clothing. Y'all ever had that problem? If you was the right kind of parent, you did. And my wife said, well, something like, well, you just reaping what you sowed, because we had to argue with y'all over what's modest clothing. Amen? Amen? And now she appreciates the stand that her mama said. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now listen to me. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the word of God. We should not be ashamed of Christian living. Now, look, we used to make fun when I was a kid. We made fun of those old Church of God women. Had that big old hair up in a bun and wore those clothes down here. Now, we long for some women like that.
Amen.
Strong, biblical, godly women. They may have not been real literate. They may have not graduated high school. But they had sold out to God, and they didn't care if you made fun of them. They went to the grocery store like that. They went to the grocery store the same way they went to church.
Amen.
I have to tell y'all, this ain't no football game. Don't come in here dressed like a football game. But these ladies went to church and went to the store and everywhere else dressed the same way all the time. Godly women. Boy, we long for those days. We long for when men would grow up and put some clothes on and get a haircut. Amen? Now I see them 60 years old with earrings. Somebody needs to snatch a hole in that man's ear.
Amen.
Amen. A young preacher came to me one day after a wedding. And he said, Preacher Ron, you're my hero. That's what he said. And he's standing there with a big old earring in his ear. A preacher. A Baptist preacher. And he said, I see you notice my earring. I said, well, how could I not notice it? Ain't that what you put it there for? He said, well, some of the brethren don't like it. I said, some of them probably do. He said, well, I've just about decided to take it out. I said, I can do that right now if you want me to. I was going to snatch that thing out of here. Grow up, man. Have you not heard of Christian living? Well, we got to do this. We got to do that to win the children. What won you? They didn't sit down and drink a beer with you to win you to Christ. They preached against the beer. Amen? They didn't sit down and undress with you. They put some clothes on and come told you, youngin', you need to put some clothes on. Amen? Amen. They didn't come down to our level. They were way above us in Christian living. And let me tell you something. It used to be a whole lot easier to tell who the Christians were. It's hard now. They have churches where the old preacher, and by the way, he's old. He ought to get him a haircut. Preacher's wearing earrings and ponytails. Preacher. He says, well, I ride a motorcycle and I look like this to win others. You'd get a lot more respect if you'd be a man. Amen? Grow up! Getting quiet now. I am not ashamed of Christian living. We ought to be different. We ought to come out from among them. We ought to be separate. We ought not touch the unclean thing. And now when you preach that, they say, you judging me. No, I'm not judging. You're already judged by the Word of God. Amen? I'm not judging you. I don't know if you're saved or lost. Only you and God knows that. But I can tell you whether or not you act right.
Amen.
Amen. I better go on. I can tell I've lost about part of you already. Oh, I forgot we was on the internet. We'll never live this down. Amen. 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 Hallelujah anyhow. You'll not be ashamed of Christian living. Boy, people come into church, they act like... People come in this morning, Mountain Dews, water bottles, coffee cups, hats. And I just want to get up here and clean house sometimes. I want to get up here and say, did your mama not teach you no better than that? This is the house of God. Why don't you straighten up? Amen? I better go home. In Jude, verse 22 and 23, he talks about, he says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Now I want you to listen real close to this. I'm not ashamed of Christian compassion.
Amen.
I have feelings for people.
Amen.
I really do. It hurts me to see the way some people have turned out, and especially when children are involved. It hurts me. I drove church buses for 20-something years because it hurt me to see how these children grow up in these houses of godless parents and in ungodly living. And it shocks you what some children see and hear.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah. And we ought to have compassion on people. And you ought to have enough compassion that it will move you. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about that bum standing there on the side of the road with a sign that says, I'm a vet. Give me some money. I know a bunch of vets don't care a sign, give me some money. Amen. I'm not talking about that guy that says, I'll work for food. And then you pull up there and say, come over to the house, cut the grass. He says, I got a bad back. I'm talking about we'll have compassion on some people. They need somebody to love them. They need somebody to overlook their faults. They need somebody to spend a little time and invest some time in their lives to win them to Christ, having compassion on some, making a difference, snatching them out of the fires because they don't even know they're going to hell, bro. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not talking about compromising your principles. I'm not talking about throwing the Bible out the window. I'm not talking about changing the gospel. I'm talking about loving a lost and a dying world that's on their way to hell and will to have a little compassion on people. Somebody did on you. Somebody prayed for you. Spent time in prayer. You didn't even know it. When I got saved, that preacher said, we've been praying for you for 3 years. I didn't know they were praying for me.
Amen.
over and over, they'd bring people to my house and sit down in my house and witness to me and read the scriptures to me. And I was hard-hearted and wouldn't get saved. And time after time, they had compassion on me and shared the gospel over and over.
Amen.
They cared when I didn't even care. They loved me when I was unlovable. Amen? Now, I'm not ashamed to have compassion on people. Now, sometimes I'm a sucker. Can I say that? Sometimes I am deceived. I am. Sometimes we are. Sometimes our compassion will overtake us and we will be hurt, we'll be deceived. But that's no reason to quit.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I used to teach Sunday school, but somebody hurt my feelings. Why don't you just shut up and go back to teaching Sunday school?
Amen.
You're mad at one person and you're going to let everybody in that class go to hell? Come on. I met preachers said, well, I used to preach, but I didn't get any respect. Whoever told you you needed respect to preach the gospel? They're supposed to be respecting him, not you. Amen?
Amen.
If we're looking for respect, most of us be divorced right now.
Amen.
Y'all didn't get that one. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with a little compassion. Ron preaches at 4 nursing homes. Maybe you've never been to a nursing home. You ought to go sometime. If you want to be moved, if you want your heart to move, and you want to shed a few tears, go to a nursing home. My mama's in a nursing home now. She's in the most wonderful one I've ever been in. But there's an old black lady in there every time I go in there. I think her name's Mary. She's had a stroke or two over the years. She can't talk. You know who I'm talking about. And you'll say, hey, Mary, how you doing? She'll say, bah, 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 fine. You say, Mary, God loves you. Oh, my God, bah, 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 yeah. Going there one day, and there's one old lady, she sits there, she'll cuss everybody out going up and down. Next day, you go in there, she'll be singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Her mind's just flipping and flipping and flipping. Some of them can't get out of bed. They just can't get out of bed. Thank God my mom forgot how to walk, but they call her Hottie Roddy. 98 years old. Those hands. She goes up and down those halls just like that. Don't you, Beck? I go see her. I say, where you been, Mama? She says, oh, we've been everywhere. We got on the bus, went up to the mountains today. Yesterday, went down to the beach. I said, glory to God, she's having fun. You need to go to the nursing home. Don't you, brother? Don't you, Billy? I used to preach out here at the Catawba nursing home. I got all them other guys coming out there. Nobody was there when I went. And there's this one woman in there named Mary, black woman. And one time I got this other preacher to come, and me and her were sitting up on the porch waiting for services to start, and he got out of the car. She didn't notice his wife, didn't care. Mary jumped up and said, woo, there's a man! And she went running down those steps and wrapped that big old black woman, wrapped around that little old skinny white boy and picked him up, and he was trying to push her off. And his wife's standing there, don't know what to do, you know. She got a big old mouth full of chewing tobacco right there. Just big old big as your fist right there all the time. And she didn't spit neither. She wasn't going to waste it. But she didn't have any money. She was always asking for a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. But she never had any money. And so what she'd do, she'd walk around the nursing home grounds and wherever somebody had some and spit it out, she'd pick it up. You say, that's awful. Well, she was happy. She's getting there and singing, oh, how I love Jesus, be just as happy. When I first started going out there, I have no musical talent. I said, we're just going to sing. So I opened up a hymn book, you know, and started leading in a song. And I had them in there in the lunchroom, about 20 of them. And this one lady said, I can play piano. And I looked over and her hands was with arthritis like that right there, you know. Couldn't straighten them out. And she went on that piano and she played that thing like there was absolutely nothing wrong with her fingers. And I said, ma'am, where'd you learn how to play piano? She said, I played piano at my church for 20 years.
Amen.
I said, do they ever come see you? She hadn't. She said, nobody's come see me since they put me in here 2 or 3 years ago. And you see, God, hey, she got a blessing playing pen. As a 20-something-year-old girl, about 25, she was in there because she had lost her mind. And I'd get up there and I'd start preaching. I'd say, "You need to get saved." And she'd stand right there. She'd say, "You need to get saved." And I'd say, "You need to read the Bible." And she'd say, "You need to read the Bible." And then finally, I kind of, you know, I wanted to preach. So I said, "Here, let me help you find a seat." So I got her to sit down and I get through preaching. And this old man comes to me. He said, "Preacher, I like the way you did that little old girl. You treated her nice. You was nice to her." He said, "Me and my wife took that little girl in." He said, "We raising her." He said, "Did I tell you about my wife?" I said, "No, sir, you didn't tell me about your wife." He said, "I married a sweet little wife." And he describes the most beautiful young girl you ever seen in your life. And then after he goes away, "Oh yeah," he said, "I'm just in here for stomach problems. When they get my stomach fixed, they got good doctors. When they get my stomach fixed, I'll go home, me and my wife." So I went to one of the workers there. I said, I knew his name. I forgot his name. "Do you know him?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Is he all there?" She said, "Did he tell you about his wife?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "He ain't never been married." "Did he tell you he took that little girl in to raise her?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He couldn't even tell you that little girl's name. He don't know her. But he'd come to the services and shout and praise the Lord." And there's another man, the whole time I was preaching, he'd walk. And you remember him? He kept his head down like that. And he walked. And you'd go up to him and you could get up and he wouldn't look at you. He just looked. And you could take your hand and you'd pick his hand up and shake it and it just dropped. He wouldn't talk. But then I noticed one night, we got to singing real good, and I looked back there at the back of the kitchen. He was way back there in the back, and he was down on both his knees, and he was looking up to heaven like this right here, and he was singing out loud, and tears were rolling down his face and dripping off his chin. Now, I might not could communicate with that man, but God could.
Amen.
Having compassion on some, making a difference. There's some people going to come up to you in heaven and thank you for coming to the nursing home. But you know, you don't have to go to a nurse home. There's people all up and down the street. That neighborhood right over there really needs somebody to have compassion. I'm knocked on most every door around here. But you know what? It never gets too late to show a little compassion. Now listen, I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist. I do not apologize for the gospel. I do not apologize for the Bible. I do not apologize for the Christian living. But most of all, don't get too hard to where you'll be ashamed because you don't have the compassion that you ought to. A lot of people keep the rules. They look good. They sound good. They quote everything real right. But they have no compassion. They never witness to anybody. They never go anywhere to try to lift somebody up as the Bible commands us to. But I'm not ashamed of it. This church right here, all kind of people. I've had people tell me, "You're doing this church thing wrong. You know, you got to go after a certain class of people. Rich people. Middle class people. Young families. White people." Did I say white? "You're doing it wrong, preacher." Well, the last time I read the Bible said, "Have compassion on some, making a difference." It didn't have a color. It didn't have a economic level. It didn't have an education standard. It just said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Amen?
Amen.
Then listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, real quick. You're not listening fast enough. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 14, I think it is. 1 John 3, verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Let me tell you something. You ought not be ashamed of your Christian family. You hear me? You ought not be ashamed of your Christian family. We've had all kind of people in here. We let Billy come. When I was growing up, I had Judy, Betty, Nancy. And they were mentally retarded. They were older than me. Growing up, I was ashamed of my sisters. My mama quit school in about the 6th or 7th grade and worked in the cotton mill. I was ashamed of my mama. I didn't know who my daddy was. I was ashamed of my daddy. My other brothers and sisters, I had older brothers and sisters. Bill. Bill quit school in the 3rd grade to go with his daddy and learn how to paint in 3rd grade. Never learned how to read and write his own name. He signed his name with an X. I was ashamed of my brother Bill. But in the end, the very ones that I was ashamed of growing up were the closest, and they loved me the most. Judy would say, and she'd come sing for us. Some of y'all might remember. She'd say, I won't have to worry anymore. She learned how to read and write her own name when she was about 55 years old. And she'd tell me, she'd say, Wani, I love you, Wani. And Betty, she couldn't talk plain. And she couldn't read or write. And she'd say, I love you, Wani. I'm proud of you, Wani. Now I'm ashamed that I was ashamed of them. In the church, of all the people on planet Earth, we should not be ashamed of our family, the church. Amen. Amen. Now, everybody's not the same. Some people's not like I'd like for them to be. But I learned through that terrible time in my life that when people love you and you love them, you should never be ashamed of those people. You say, well, they don't know how to dress. Well, buy them a dress. You say, well, they don't know how to talk right. Well, help them talk right. Amen? I'd never be ashamed of my church family. Sometimes people, and of course, we don't get many people of substance around here. Amen? And I mean rich people. Do y'all understand what I mean? But when they come in, the old devil jumps on me and says, well, here they come. Here they come. They're going to judge your church. But you know what I learned a long time ago? I'm not ashamed of my church family. And if they don't like it, they can go somewhere else. Amen. Hey, look, you come to my house, you don't like my family, go somewhere else. I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not ashamed of the Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of the old-fashioned church. And then, last but not least, I'm not ashamed of where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. If that don't suit you, don't go. Amen? If that don't suit you, don't go. If you don't like that, don't go. There's another place you can go. Amen. Some people, if they went to heaven, they'd turn it into the other place. Psalm 35, verse 26 says this, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. You know, it's time that we as Christians stop being ashamed. Let the other crowd be ashamed for a while.
Amen.
Amen. Let them be ashamed that they make fun of godly people. Let them be ashamed that they mock the Word of God. Let them be ashamed that they don't believe the gospel. It used to be that way. When I was growing up, it's the opposite of what it is now. I grew up in a godless home. Didn't get saved till I was 23. But on Sunday, you know what we did? We didn't do anything. You know why? You're supposed to be at church. And it was a shame we weren't at church. Amen. I went to school with people, most of them claimed to be Christians. I kept my mouth shut because I wasn't a Christian. I remember as a teenager, I'd date girls and I'd go to her house to meet the parents, and the parents say, Ronnie, what church do you go to? And I'd have to lie and make up one. I didn't go to church. And I was ashamed of it. Now, it's turned around. About 10% are Christians, and the rest of them are not ashamed of not being Christians. Amen? Listen, we live in a sin-cursed, wicked world. And they're going to make fun of us. And they're going to mock us. But you know, when they do, you know what we need to do? We need to turn it around and let them be the ones who are ashamed of themselves.
Amen.
And the psalmist said, God, make that crowd ashamed. You listen to me? Make that crowd ashamed. When people can come into the church and act like the devil, dress like the devil, live like the devil, and they have no shame, there's something wrong. Boy, when I remember before I got saved, those few times I go to church, I'd about tiptoe in that place. They said God lived down there, man. I was scared to death. He was going to get me. Amen? When I was a kid, they never locked the doors of a church. You know why? We were afraid that God'd kill us if we'd hurt the church. My mom would tell us when we was little, said, don't you go out there and play. Those kids ain't home. They gone to church. You just stay right here. And I remember about 12 o'clock when they'd all start coming home, we'd hide behind the house, and then about 1 o'clock, we'd go see our friends that went to church. Because we were ashamed of not being Christians. And the psalmist turned that around. He said, let them be ashamed. You know what you ought to do? You ought to stand up, and you ought to be counted for what you are, because it'll shock you how many people it would shame. The reason that the lost world's not more ashamed like it used to be is because there's too many Christians that are ashamed. Who was it told me today, said they went to a graduation, and the Amazing Grace story. Who was that? Somebody told me. It was Deborah. Deborah said that her mama said she had wanted Amazing Grace sung at her funeral. But since they didn't really have a funeral, it didn't happen. Said, but while they were there, they went to the graduation of one of the grandkids, high school graduation, and said the high school chorus stood up and started singing Amazing Grace, and said two-thirds of the crowd jumped up and started clapping and singing with them.
Amen.
And people were amazed because they said, we didn't know you could still sing songs like that at a public high school graduation. I'll tell you what happened, just like I told her, the majority stood up. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of Christian living. I'm not ashamed of compassion. I'm not ashamed. Listen, I'm not ashamed. Let them be ashamed. We need to get back to it, folks. Don't apologize. When people say, well, how about coming over to the house Sunday? We're going to have a cookout. Throw your shoulders back. Hold your head up and say, no, I go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. I go to church on Sunday. What? You go? I didn't think nobody goes to church anymore. Yeah, they do. You need to come down there and check it out. There's still some of us left. Amen. Amen. When you're at work and they about to pull those lottery tickets and those pool tabs and punch boards. Y'all didn't know I knew anything about that, did you? And I wasn't always saved. And sometimes I was stupid. I was ashamed of that. But when they start doing all that stuff and they bring it over here and say, here, don't you want in on that? Say, no, I don't do that. I'm a Christian. When they start talking about those dirty movies and stuff, you say, look, I don't need to hear this. You dirty in my ears, man. I'm a Christian. I don't need to hear this stuff. Amen? I told y'all one time I had a boss man cussed all the time. He got mad at me one day, and he got to hollering and cussing at me, and I took two pieces of cotton. I done them just like that, and I kept right on working. Y'all say something? He said, what are you doing? I said, I ain't got to listen to you. I'm a Christian. What are you ashamed of? What are you ashamed of? I tell a lot about what you really are. What are you ashamed of? I'm ashamed of my failures. I'm ashamed of my faults. I'm ashamed of my faults, but I ain't ashamed of me. Thank God. He's been good to me, Brother Rick. Hey, He's been good to both of us. We'd be dead in hell today if it wasn't for the grace of God. I was ashamed of my mama one time, you know, young growing up. But I'm going to tell you something. You mess with my mama, I'll whoop you. Amen. I'll pick up a brick if you're bigger than I am. We'll have an equalizer. You'll be graveyard dead before the day's out. And we'll be like that about our Savior. Amen. They come around using His name. And I'd say, stop it! That's my father you talking about. How would you feel if I used a cuss word every time I use your daddy's name? And they'd use the Lord's name, Jesus' name, you know. And that's more popular up north than it is down south, by the way. But they come around using His name, and now over and over and over. Finally, I get fed up and say, shut up! You're talking about the one that died for me. Stop it! Amen. We got to do it. With His help, we can do it. Amen. I mean, we sing the song, Stand Up for Jesus. I hope you haven't been ashamed. Even if you have, I want to tell you this. He's never been ashamed of you. My children's made mistakes, but I've never been ashamed of my children. God's a lot better father than I am. If you're not saved tonight, He wouldn't be ashamed of calling you His own. If you're not saved. He'd love to save you. He desires to save you. And after you get saved, He'd never be ashamed of you. Right now He is, but He wouldn't then. Let's stand and sing 243. 243. The longer I preach, 243.